Well, we'd like to welcome you back to the Saturn Earth Connection with Michael in Maui. And our website is helloearth.info, and this is hour 72. Today's Tuesday, the 6th of January. Happy New Year 2009. Happy New Year, Michael.
Happy New Year, and Happy New Year to everyone. And that would mean me wishing you a Happy New Year. Well, it's up to us to make it into a happier new year.
That's right. We need to all work together to make this a good year.
Yes.
And it's going to be interesting, and I think the interest is going to start very soon in January. I guess everyone knows I'm talking about the 20th.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
But, well, we only have an hour, so let's get right into this. And I'll start off with Michael sending me a email about lightning bolts in Hawaii, which is a really rare event over there.
Well, that touched the ground, you know, continuously hit ground.
I've seen them up in this clouds and out at sea, but I've never seen it over the ground. But anyway, Michael writes to me, he says, we've been getting a weaker magnetic field and the ionosphere has shrunk down closer to the troposphere. This may have caused the immense static charge that are required in the tropical latitudes for this kind of lightning. Yeah, it blew out the whole island of Oahu for quite a while.
12 hours at least. So, yeah, just a cold start that, you know, go from zero right on to loading up the grid. Took them about 12 hours to get it balanced out and started up.
Well, everybody was glad about that. And
yeah.
So do you want to speak at all about the
weaker
common, magnetic field?
Yeah, the common feeling that in Hawaii, with our humidity and our climate, the kind of lightning shows that we see that, you know, there are in different parts of the world, in the mainland, let's say, in drier areas, noticing that they hit the ground, and some of the electrical storms are quite, you know, glorious. But Hawaii doesn't seem to have any. And, occasionally we do, and they seem to synchronize with the sunspot cycle, but maybe a lot of times you can't really point a finger at it. What I can find is that we are having a weaker magnetic field. Our magnetosphere is shrinking for some reason, along with the sun's activity right now is not very great. And recently, what came up on scientists at space.com have, give indications that there's actual holes in our magnetosphere. Now, our magnetosphere protects us from various kinds of solar as well as radiation from other sources, whether they be from the sun or from deeper within the galaxy, or even from someplace else, could even mean our own equipment. There's something going on here, and there's an importance that we should pay attention to. Because when we look at magnetic fields becoming weaker, it is usually something that has to do with Earth changes, as I believe, and as many other people believe, is that our universe is really an electric universe, and electricity and magnetism go hand in hand, and we know as common magnetic materials, ferrous materials, has been, of course, changed bec- because of more recent discoveries, that we have many, many other materials that are magnetic, and even materials that can become magnetic in terms of their relationship with pressure or temperature or things like that can become magnetic, or supermagnetic, or superconductive. And with this weakening magnetic field, there's all kinds of things that can happen, and seems to be causing movements in our lithosphere, our solid stuff, our Earth itself, what's floating on our molten material of magma, you might say. And that's causing some changes in the shape of the Earth. There's the fact that our Earth has already slowed down a bit because of that great big earthquake in Indonesia a few years back. The Earth has actually become a little bit bigger, and the Earth has slowed in its rotation. So there are certain things that have been measured. Other things that are happening right now that we're seeing, including increased volcanism. We have some indications that even Yellowstone, of all things, is getting a little bit more active. Not a little bit more, a lot more active. Mm-hmm. In other words, I'm very familiar with volcanism because Hawaii is everything about volcanism is studied here.
Yeah, you live on a volcano.
Yeah, and these little groups of minor earthquakes tend to give indication that there is like movement of magma, you know, just sort of like how sometimes our own belly sort of rumbles when we get hungry. And we can, you know, same idea, you know, there's some movement going on under the ground, you know. And it can mean a volcano is ready to erupt, or it can mean that there's just more activity. Ultimately, right now, what we know for sure is that there's more activity because we're measuring a lot more activity. And coupling all of these things together, I'm reminded about what Jesus Christ said. He says, before I come back, you know, there'll be all these changes. There'll be, you know, earthquakes in different places, and, you know, and the sun, moon, and the stars will show different signs and wonders. And then, so you got to watch and you got to pray. Now, these two elements, watching and praying, go hand in hand. And what we today have is a lot better ability to watch. Our instruments are much better than our, you know, our God-given instruments like our eyeballs, you know, our vision. We have a lot more ability to sense things through instrumentation, which makes us a very unique, you know, unique species on the Earth, because we can use tools to great effect to enhance our ability to perceive. And what we are perceiving right now is a lot of what he warned about before he would come. And what he was describing has been described, what I'm talking about, what Jesus was describing, was described very much in the same sense as a magnetic reversal event. And everything looks like it's moving towards something like that. There have been big ones, ones that are so massive that they have been timed with extinction cycles on the Earth. Luckily, they're, you know, millions and millions of years apart. Anyway, but right now we're seeing something like that. So that brings to mind that I've got to keep watching and praying. Praying basically means a telepathic connection to the information source, and through which we can receive a lot. There's right now we have the channel, or the, not so much a channel, but more of a web, you might say, of information that we can tap via the spirit of truth that has been bestowed to Earth. Spirit of truth is a very real informational resource for us. And it was sent by God, sent by Christ himself too. He had to leave, otherwise the spirit of truth would not come. And many, many people are tapping into the spirit of truth and are being motivated by the spirit of truth. Whether they know it by that name or not, it's just that that force and energy that causes us to seek truth and also gives us truth and then brings to mind some of these things. So I'm using Christianity as some of the basis for what I'm saying, because it's kind of archaic and it was said a long time ago. And the times are showing, the events are coming to this point of when he would be coming back. But he said that no one knows, not even he knew, only the Father knew when he would arrive. But there's a big, big organized and well-orchestrated, well-conducted preliminary things that are going on, and included in that is the New Jerusalem. Very existence is all in part in preparation for this this special event that we're really close in getting to see right now.
Is the weaker magnetic field associated with that, with this event?
Yes, because definitely.
Because
of course, we don't know the causes of it exactly, but it's something that we need to just pay attention to.
Well, if we can measure that our magnetic field is getting weaker, it really sort of points that the magnetic field isn't really caused by the Earth itself, the body of the planet itself. It could be coming from outside the planet.
There's proponents to that too, that our magnetic field is influenced by other magnetic fields, or even what some people call gravitational fields. There still tend to be magnetic fields or alignments between our very small quantum materials of the our planet. But in any case, right now, just looking at Earth and the Sun, they seem to be operating in a similar sense. Right now, the Sun is very quiet, and our Earth is getting weaker in terms of its magnetic energy. And I don't know if that's the reason, but they're definitely associated. There are people who have made theories. I think there's a book by this guy, Mitch Batros, who has Earth Changes TV, and he has some idea about the solar influence on our climate, on our Earth. And now, there, of course, we have not only weather, national, you know, weather. We also have space weather things that are going on. Our scientists have put up, which include observing the sun itself.
Michael, do you know how much weaker the magnetic field is? Like 1% or a tenth of a percent, or?
It's approaching 90% weaker.
90% weaker.
That's what I heard, yes.
Well, that's a tremendous number.
That's a tremendous number, yes. If you look at Mars, who is basically no magnetic field, mm-hmm. it doesn't have much of an atmosphere, and it's only theorized that it had one, and it had in water in much greater amounts. And Mars is a smaller world, but planet than us. But if there was an active magnetic field in a magnetosphere, it's also theorized that it would have retained its environment, its atmosphere, and water. And for some reason, it stopped and it just froze up, and as a result, Mars went dead. I know that when I asked to stop by and take a look at Mars, they commented that it was a dead planet. Not dead in terms of activity there. There are other things going on there, but in terms of life, it was former. It's a former thing. Earth has gone through several cycles of life and then extinction cycles. I think four. We're facing the fifth extinction cycle, but we're not supposed to be made extinct, Earth, again, you know.
Well, this magnetic field is quite a big subject, and if anyone has a question they'd like to ask Michael, just write in and we'll do it next time. Can we move a little bit to the next one?
Sure.
Michael, you ready? All right, Paul J.S., I don't know where Paul lives on the mainland, but he writes, I'm listening to the latest Michael message. He's doing that fast or rapid talking again that I mentioned to you once before. I have a feeling when he does, he's getting a download of some sort in real time. If you've noticed, his information is less digestible because it's coming so fast and not in the usual slow, well thought out manner. You want to comment on that, Michael?
There are times in which I would speak more rapidly, mm-hmm. and usually if it is a straight, you might say, what you think is a download, or perhaps would be called channeled information, it may be fast, or it may be slow. It doesn't really make that much difference. The purity of the tone is more important. Anytime it is uplifting and true and makes your spirit bear witness, which is the most important thing, then you can feel confident that you are hearing truth. There's a difference between listening to a hopeful message and a message of truth. A hopeful message gives you a feeling of hope, where a message of truth is understandable and bears witness inside of yourself, deep within, via the channels or the power or the connection between you and your thought adjuster. Your thought adjuster is, again, the fragment of God or the fractal of the Father that resides within yourself. It gives you guidance, it gives you understanding, it gives you more real trust in knowledge. So, yeah, I would say this, speaking fast or speaking slow, it's what ends up inside of you as confirming what is being said or absorbing what is being said that is more important.
Okay. Well, Nicola from Massachusetts writes, Hello, Michael. Last week it was mentioned the New Jerusalem is a baby architectural sphere. You mentioned there are architectural spheres the size of our solar system. Is the Isle of Paradise an architectural sphere? And then he ends with, is there a limit to how big these spheres can get?
First of all, I was at least given some understanding. It's almost as if they wanted to teach me about its construct, what it was made out of. I remember being seated in the class and the Dano sitting there alongside me, teaching me about the seven psychic circles of the psychic development, or not only psychic, just a development and attainment of of being closer to God, and him also later pointing out just the environment that I was in, how clean it was, how new it was, and then helping me observe. And then I wanted to know how everything was made, and then this is where they began to show me and let me watch the construct of an area, and one in which two actual areas, one which looked like the interior of a saucer, which he said would be like a dwelling place that they are preparing for me or for someone like me. They promised that I would have one, and it's they told me that it was constructed in a out of crystalline structure, and that it was composed of instruction or guidance from outside. Not its growth and its construction is different from how our body, its life is constructed. I said, is it like how a tree is, you know, grows like with its cells? And it says, no, a tree is, you know, given its instruction from within itself and within its cells. What they have done in constructing these, the environment which I was in, the physical space, was done from the outside. And I could see waves of energy that moved through apparently a layering process. Because of this, I will presume that this process can be taken to any dimension required. So there is probably no limit to the size of such a architectural world. And not only that, in terms of its structural requirements, it's almost as if it is alive. And as a result, it is able to heal. It is able to continue its growth as necessary. And from what I could see from the first penetration into the outer hall, which looks like a definite, almost solid object, but it was considered a field, energetic field. I believe that it's where the luminosity of the New Jerusalem comes from, is another bit of the structure that is considered its dimension. So, yeah, I would say there's the Eternal Isle of Paradise is about that size, the size of our solar system, I believe. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty big. That's immense.
That's immense, yes. So, I think I'm only familiar with the New Jerusalem in its exterior appearance. We have a photograph of it, and it's fairly accurate. And I would presume that other architectural worlds would be somewhat spherical or egg-shaped or whatever you want to describe it, but having a dimension of three dimensions at least, you know, spaces, spatial dimensions.
When you say we have a photograph of it, are you referring to the one taken by a telescope?
I'm referring to that one as well as Cassini's photograph of it.
Cassini's.
So, yeah, well, anyway, I hope that answers some of your question, Nicola. Nice talking with you, Les.
Yes, and Keith from Virginia writes, he says, thanks for asking Michael about the elders on the last recording. I'm up to hour 27, I think, plus I listen to the new one immediately. He goes on, he says, I wonder if you could ask him about last night's History Channel broadcast about 2012. And I had other phone calls about this. They brought up the sun's activity that Michael referenced, CMEs, tied to...
Yeah, CMEs are coronal mass ejections.
Oh, okay. tied to the sun's position in the middle of the Milky Way. The three solar eclipses due that year. The wobble of the outer planet on its axis, the diminishment of the magnetic field, and the increased exposure to incoming space debris as a result. All on December 21st, 2012. All of this was supposedly predicted by numerous ancient prophets in writing and through art, and is expressed on various edifices around the world, also in the form of art. Did the beings ever reference any of this specifically?
No, I didn't go through that part, any prophetic. Mostly what it was, what I have, was dealing with our purpose for being, and how there are very carefully and very consciously guiding us along, and hoping that we will make the right choices. And it's all up to us to make the right choices. When it comes down to prophetic information, or information concerning the future, I find comfort in the Holy Bible. The Holy Bible has tended to be right. Not tended to be, but really has shown its accuracy beyond a lot of other texts. And several times, many occasions, in which within the Holy Bible are indications of what can be described as a polarity shift event, and it's recorded there, and it is also prophesied about the Book of Revelation as one of the indicators that does show a lot. Jesus himself did declare how, when he was going to come back, these things would happen. He would have earthquakes in different places, and you would have rumors of wars and all of this stuff, and it's all happening now, of course. But more than that is the signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, which are also coming into our view as being something to pay attention to. But more importantly was the preparation of our individual selves, our souls, you might say, for this event, because our bodies, no matter what, will perish. We, as physical beings, as individuals, have a finite amount of days given to our physical bodies. However, when it comes to our real selves, that is potentially a very everlasting instrument, if properly constructed. And with a true relationship between the given instrument. And the first instrument that we have is one that was a guiding instrument to get us there, which was himself, the Creator Son, Jesus Christ. That is the first one. And after that, much, much more. And there are many times in which we get pointed to our truth, and then we find it somewhat distorted, but still there. And I was noticing that there's something like 25 or so major religions in the world, but Christianity as a religion is about one-third of all the religions in the world. One-third of the earth is Christian. They declare themselves as Christian. And Islam is about 20%. And all the others make up the remainder. So about half is all the remainder, which includes one which is considered non-religious. In other words, not having an official, you might say, church-type environment, But within it, there are many people who, about half of that group of about 16% or 15 or 16%, which would be about, 7% or 8% of the entire population of Earth, believe in God, but they wouldn't lay claim of their belief in God coming from any one major religion. So they consider themselves non-religious, but believing in God. So taking that into account, we see a world that is over 90% God-believing or God-seeking. And this is what I found out, and the energy behind that is that bestowed spirit of truth that drives people toward truth, whether it be through the means of philosophy or religion, or even or science. And it reminds me of one statement that comes from the Bible. The fool said in his heart, there is no God. And even a scientist would go and look at life and its structure and says, this cannot just have been by happenstance that over millions and millions of years, because there's a lot of places that are millions and millions of years old, and there's no sign of life just because of age. It has to be a lot of things put together to make life that we know it on Earth, DNA-based life, as true. So there's got to be more than simple things. So anyway, when it comes down to the old things, there's a lot of old stuff there in the religions of the world. And I kind of amazed when I went and did a tour of many of these, what I could see, what I could discern after essentially being enlightened, you might say.
By the Celestials?
By the Celestials themselves, yes. By not only working with Tan and Nella, but the entire operation there, just seeing what goes on, is order to their what they're doing. And though I didn't quite get the whole idea, I at least was able to get enough information that puts all of this together in a beautiful way. It's just that too bad that everybody thinks that their little bit of truth is the only truth.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we can move on to Ned. Ned just sent me an email just before we started. He's from New Orleans. He writes, I was wondering, can you ask Michael if he will be willing to talk a little bit about the Majorensen? And then he goes on, he says, I belong to a site mainly composed of people who receive the 1111 prompts. These prompts are sent to people by midwayers. And I forgot the details, but the story is that during the Lucifer Rebellion, there were 1,111 of them that did not rebel and stayed true to God. They were given the prompts of 1111 to use when they would develop TVs, digital clocks, and other technologies to try to say that they want to communicate. And then he has, have the Celestials given you any information on how events will play out when he comes? I've heard that he is composed... I'm sorry, I heard that he is supposed to arrive before Jesus does to do his work.
You mean Majorensen?
Yes.
Yeah, well, Majorensen, first of all, is an individual being of... you might say, of celestial origin. You know what I mean by celestial origin?
Yes, coming from the sky, from the stars.
Yeah, okay. And it is not a not a being which you might say is just poking his nose where it doesn't belong.
Okay. Okay.
He has been what is considered a magisterial mission. So when Charleston has uses channeled people who channel his voice or his wishes. This is the way the magisterial mission works many times. Initially, this magisterial mission type things of channeling and stuff were given at the opening of the Spirit of Truth after Jesus Christ at Pentecost. Pentecost opened up the windows of the opportunity of the Spirit of Truth, Holy Spirit, to become fully active or activated, which activates much of what we are as human beings. And it actually activates or turns on some switches in ourselves, you might say DNA switches. And some people become receptive to the celestial voice. And specifically, Mon Johnson is one of the stronger voices today. His basic teachings and question and answer sessions tend to be ones that are of truth, you might say, given in more plain language sometimes. And we always have to remember, whenever it comes down to channeled information, that there is a go-between, or an instrument. Sometimes there can be some static, so the message may not be as clear as you would want it to be. Today, whether it be through prophetic, well, this is classified under one of the prophetic gifts or gifts of prophecy, where individuals can channel the voices or the mind of celestials who are commissioned to help elevate our consciousness. But even those that are channeling their consciousness and their activity has also been elevated. So, as far as Mort Johnson, my comment on that is, or any channeled information, or is that if it is not what would be considered uplifting, strength building, knowledge building of pure intent. And it can be detected at that because it will have to be reflected off of our adjusted. That's one of the greatest gifts we have, is the fact that we have a thought adjuster to reflect all of this on. I was once told by a very wise prophetess. She told me, when it comes down to listening to any of these things, just remember, it's like eating fish. Just eat the meat and spit out the bones. And that amounts to keeping yourself alive with your thought adjuster, who will keep you aligned with the Spirit of Truth. So they're helpful, and they are servants of God, such as we desire to become and may be, are already being pulled up toward to become like them. I'm not sure of what his order is, but he has a part of the magisterial mission, which is a preparing the way. It's not to say the magisterial missions, those who came ahead, who who, many of which seeded the various religions of the world, didn't do their mission correctly. It's most of the time you can trace it back to the failings of you, of we, the human being, in our almost selfish desire to hold the truth in a nutshell, you might say, when it is much bigger than that. And as a consequence, you get many divisions, and instead of looking for the truth, the thread of truth that moves through all truth in the universe, and what is made available to us, we look at all the walls in which make us different. Some people really, really feel they have to have a Bible-based relationship with God, otherwise they don't feel strong. Because they have this warning that says many voices have gone out into the world, and not all of them are from God, and many are deceptive. But when it came down to truth, there is nothing hid that will not be made known. So if there is a hidden agenda, it becomes known after a while. Then you just spit out the bone, keep the meat for yourself. So as far as Mondjohnson.com, it's interesting. I've visited the site maybe a couple of times.
Well, I'll have to take a look.
Yeah.
Well, on the 4th of January, I got a call from Riley.
And, Riley Martin.
Riley Martin. And sounds like he wants to have a new year this year. And he asked me to come up, and Marcy and I went up there and saw him. And since I've seen him, he's fallen down and, as he called it, re-injured his leg. But the more correct term is he broke his femur bone. And so he's doing all right. He seems well, and he was I gave him some ozone water, and he was amazed at that. And they're getting one for themselves, and so that'll be good, because everybody needs that stuff. But it was really good to see Riley after a long time, and. So we don't have any hard feelings about each other, or just trying to go on from here. But Riley he was out at that architectural world. It seemed like he was quite comfortable there when he bumped into you, Michael.
You know?
It was the place was still new to you.
I was still in shock.
You were still in shock.
Yes.
And he was like, "Who's this guy?"
Right.
But he hasn't really heard too much of you. He's heard a little bit, and he's not one to use the keyboard and get on a computer. And I took my computer up there. I tried to hook it up to his Ethernet wire, but for some reason I couldn't get it to work. I wanted to show him the website and how he is part of this connection, along with the Urantia book. And I took the Urantia book up there. He's never seen that or heard about it before. And I just handed it to him with it open. I didn't really have it open in any particular place. I just opened it and handed it to him. And he sat there and read a paragraph aloud. And at the end, he just paraphrased what was said in it. In Riley's own words, he goes, "You know, what do they need to say all that for that for?" And then I was headed out to the car, and I heard him reading another paragraph, and I waited. But I don't know what he really thinks about that book, but I don't know if he realizes how it's connected with this whole event, that Michael talks about, they introduce it to Michael out there. Well, is that true, Michael? They introduce it to you, or did you know of that book before?
Did they introduce
the Urantia book to you?
The one who told me about it was the Dano teacher son, a Trinity teacher son of the Dano order, the highest level of teacher son. Yeah, so he was the one who told me that it would help explain some of the things going on. It's not a complete. In fact, the Urantia book itself says it's not complete in all the details.
Are they planning on making it more complete?
No, they're not going to make it more complete. They're going to make us have a more complete relationship with them. It is not, giving us a better book. It's not that way. It's giving us a better relationship to them, a more complete relationship. And as a result, that book will be probably become somewhat of a resource as something that was used historically after a while.
Because still I have not bumped into too many people who have even heard about that book.
Yes.
And because of you, you've introduced that book to many people. And I was just talking to Brian in Oregon, and just to paraphrase, he just has been quite taken with how you've changed his life and the Urantia book and made things a lot more clear to him about his placement in this world and what this world means to all of us. And he really thanks you for that. And I said, oh, well, send me a note and I'll send it to Michael. No, I think he will, but I've gotten many notes like that thanking you for enlightening them about this whole phenomena.
Yes, and that what is happening with them is part of the magisterial mission. Von Johnson's mission. I'm also part of the Reserve Corps of Destiny of Urantia, working in that same mission. And we are headed toward a monumental event that will change the consciousness of our whole civilization here on Earth, and truly bring resonance to all the truth that is here already. And when it resonates with the celestial harmony, it will, really raise us up in terms of what we truly will value in terms of life, in terms of civilization, in terms of the future ahead of us. And it's an exciting time, and we're living right in one of the most exciting times that Earth will ever see. And this is the awakening. It's just a little bit away. And there are some celestials who have almost come down and said, there's going to come a point where there will be no denying that we are. It will become like my vision of seeing all these craft in such a gigantic formation, this huge formation of craft far exceeding what was that UFO flap over Mexico City. This huge indication, so great, undeniable. but it's a little ways away, and the timing for that is not known yet. But it's not too far off, because it's timed in approximation with some of the Earth changes that are happening right now, and you know, kind of looking at very intently, such as the weakening magnetic field, and you know, things like we're seeing in Saturn's unusual auroras, and our sun's quiescent nature right now. It's almost like, you know, the quiet before the storm. It's like it's getting ready to blow its top or something. You know, and corona, the corona is the key. If you look at the sun, its outer shell, the corona is the key of our problem right now. CME blast is not going to be friendly, especially with a weakened magnetic field.
Well, it seems the news media, just going back 10 years or 5 years, even 5 years, they never talked at all about this subject matter, even though it appeared in the newspaper every once in a while, and even over Washington, D.C. in 1952. And I know a fellow named Don Ware who was there in Washington, and he's been talking about it ever since. And some people can see the photographs. Just go to 1952 UFOs over the Capitol building and read about that story. But now here we are 50-some years later, and CNN has it on, and it seems like it's in our news quite a bit now.
Yeah, it's almost as if things are being prepared for that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, someone recently asked me, you know, do I report when I see a UFO? And no, I never do. I never have. I mean, I've seen them, but I mean, I know George Filer. He's been up here several times, and I can report it to him, but what's he going to say? Oh, Curtis saw some light in the sky, and it had a wiggly line. It just didn't conform to anything else, but so they are really showing themselves, and all the people who haven't seen them before, they need to see them.
And it yes, seems, and it's interesting to see that more and more they are making themselves known. They know that we need to know that they exist, and yet the call for the great armada of ships to make their voyage over here hasn't been given yet, but the call for them to come from all areas, the invite has been answered by many, and at different levels. But interestingly enough, the levels of technology that Tan and Nella's ship have is very, very high. It's at that crystalline level, you know, it's just amazing.
At that crystalline level?
Crystal level of, yeah, the fabrication. It's, you know, people are saying that, oh, the technology of the aliens have been shared with our black ops group, and we've actually fabricated their technology and are actually using these craft. If that is true, it wouldn't have anywhere near the level of technology that Tan and Nella did, because their ship was this. And of course, also including the New Jerusalem, because they're so far ahead. It's like living things.
Well, you said that many times, like, I mean, it's kind of a difficult subject to talk about, but wouldn't it be interesting if they would come on the recording with you?
Yeah, presently the method for that would have been through channeling, I guess.
Through channeling. Well, I played Tan's voice one day, and we see them, but we'd like to hear from them.
Yes.
So we're We're putting out a request for Tan and Nella to call in. Call home.
Yeah?
To call Earth and say hello. And we'd be very glad to have them on the recording.
Yeah, well, that will happen one day, perhaps. But when that happens, it's probably after the Great Awakening.
Okay, well, people who are listening to this are tuned in, and there's people catching up. I hear people, oh, I'm on hour 19, and I'm catching up to Michael, and some people are saying they listen a couple hours a day or 2 or 3 hours a day to try and catch up. But
One of the things besides catching up is to get in tune with your thought adjuster. The way that the teachings that are still as true today as they ever were just basic, was to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body, and your neighbor as yourself. If you can do these two things, truly do them, I mean, really, the thought adjuster will come alive, the spirit of truth will move you with all truth into it, and you will see these people like Tan and Nella as people. You just will know them, but you will know that they are someplace that we need to go. And this is what I always am reminded of. Their tolerance, their patience is far beyond us. It's a characteristic that they bear within themselves, having demonstrated to me. I just want to emulate it. I want to be like them. I want to copy them. But I'm glad that I have had that that exposure, and it all starts there, though. Exactly what I just said. You just gotta love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body, and then your neighbor yourself, and it'll be all, you know, done for you. And there, you know, there's the fact that Jesus Christ took his bestowal to become mortal here on earth. He became a man of the land, just Son of Man. And because of that, we have many privileges. And one of the great privileges is to be able to use his authority and his name. And that is one of the things that gives us the royal energy or royal dictate. We become like, hopefully not like little you might say brats, but many times maybe we act like brats, but it's the ability to be able to use his name and use his authority. You know, it's in the time of ancients, to use the name of a lord was only bestowed upon certain people with certain great connections. And but we have that given to us, to be able to use that name. And his name can be called Jesus, his name can be called Savior, his name can be Joshua, his name can be called Son of God, his name can be called many things. Name can be called, I've heard people who have met Jesus in the near death, in the hospital, where they just simply cried out, "Save me, God," and there he came. And his name means that. It means the Savior, or one that connects us back to the Father. So that's the most important thing in this time. Disconnecting ourselves from the system that is out there is another thing. And right now, we are headed there's some kind of a recovery of our financial system, world, global system of doing business, and we are called out right now to seek God for guidance on how to disconnect from it, how to come out of this world system, which is part of the non-adoptable part of. They don't want to adopt our world system, you might say. The celestial are looking at it and say, we don't want that part of Earth.
Well, we're about out of time, and there goes another hour really quickly. And we'll talk with you again next week, and welcome 2009, and I hope it's a good healthy year for everyone.
Okay.
And we'll talk with you again, Michael, so time to say aloha.
Aloha.
Okay. Aloha.